The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. This is the gospel of the Lord."
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of this earth. Amen. Every year on Christ the King Sunday, we paint this preposterous picture of a servant king. We have this king who only uses his power for other people, and a king who is merciful even to those who are actually physically killing him at the moment. A king who is preoccupied with the bottom feeders of the community, the beggars, the homeless, the chronically ill, the chronically poor, and it is preposterous. If we look at the kings of this world, the presidents and prime ministers and monarchs and crowned princes and czars and whatever else we call the heads of state that hold a lot of power in any given country or region, they spend a lot of energy trying to keep their power. They use their power for their own benefit. They're not generally famous for being really merciful to those who try to kill them. They spend their time in luxury settings with the most powerful people, with eating the finest foods, not with the beggars, not with the homeless, not with the chronically ill or the chronically poor. So it is a preposterous picture to paint. And it is ridiculous that we gather to worship this king who has it all backwards. But it is also precisely the point. We are told in our culture, we're told that we are to work hard and gather a nest egg so that we can take care of ourselves as we age. But our King, Jesus, says we aren't actually meant to take care of ourselves, that we're meant to take care of each other. We are trained from a very early age to begin to be independent, so that we can manage adult life on our own, so that we won't be dependent or a burden on our parents or the government or whatever. But King Jesus says we are actually all dependent. Dependency is actually the key to the kingdom, that we're all united and dependent on each other to be whole, to make life work, to actually be different parts of the same body. We are trained to keep our pain and our weaknesses a secret, so that nobody could know anything but our strengths. But King Jesus wept when his friend died and his sisters were mourning. He told the disciples over and over and over, "I'm going to be handed over to those who are powerful in this world, and they're going to kill me." We are told to keep our vulnerabilities in check, because if we keep them hidden, then nobody can exploit them. But our King Jesus was vulnerable right out in public when he was stripped and whipped and made to carry his cross. We have laws about self-defense and protection. If someone is going to kill you, you have the right to kill them first. Jesus, our King, was nonviolent, and he did not protect himself from the torture he was dealt. This world we live in, it just doesn't always, often look like Jesus is the king of it. So when we gather for worship, we confess, It's the first thing we do in the Lutheran pattern of worship is we confess that we don't even know how to live out the kingdom life. And when we do figure out little parts of it, and we do know what we're supposed to do, then we actually don't want to do that. Today we use these words that were on the back of the bulletin to confess. We said, "O God, our merciful Redeemer, we confess the ways we live only for ourselves." Because we can't seem to figure out how to feel safe enough to live sacrificially for other people. We fail to see your face in our neighbor's face, we confessed today. We look at a stranger and see a stranger. Someone we don't know, whose intentions we don't know, with patterns and customs and languages we don't know. Our hearts are not always broken for our neighbor in need. We do not remember that our King said, "Whatever you've done to them, you do to me." We also confess that we turn our ears from voices that cry out. Just yesterday, a man approached me for money at this Sheetz. Where am I? Over there. I had money in my pocket, literally cash in my pocket. I had food in my hands, and I had just filled my tank with gas. And when he asked if I could help, I said no. I didn't feel safe. I was alone. I felt a little afraid. He was not menacing, but he was a stranger, and I didn't know him. And it was just easier to say no and keep walking than to maybe listen to a story or to reach in my pocket. And you likely are sitting there thinking, "That's okay, Pastor, you didn't know him, and you didn't know if you were safe. If you felt unsafe, you have every right to keep going and feel safe." And I would say the same thing to you. You have every right to feel safe in your life. But then we have to admit that Christ was not the king of that moment. I was. Because someone in need was not first. If I am to take my King Jesus at his word, then whatever I did to that man in the parking lot, I did to Jesus. And if he was hungry, then he's still hungry. We confess that we pass by the hungry and oppressed. We cannot seem to create systems where we believe that there is enough, that God's abundance is actually the rule of law. We can't seem to manage that. We have created a system in which I can click around on my laptop a couple clicks and put a new gadget for the kitchen in my virtual cart, and then somehow magically the money goes from my bank or my credit card to that store. And then in 2 days it's on my porch, and I get to use this new gadget for my kitchen that I really probably don't need. I can do that with a few clicks. But the homeless shelters in my city are full, which means tonight Jesus sleeps at Open Door Ministries. But I have a new gadget. And the kids in my neighborhood school are so hungry that they need a backpack of food to make it through the weekend. So Jesus is zipping open a backpack right now to find his lunch. It is estimated that nearly 85,000 children under the age of 5 have died in Yemen since 2015 of starvation. We have enough food. Children died of starvation, a slow, agonizing death, which means our King has died nearly 85,000 times in Yemen in the last 3 years. So this morning, we confess the ways we do not live as though Christ is King, and we ask for mercy. We prayed, "In your great mercy, forgive our sin and strengthen us for service to all in need through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." And God's great mercy, great mercy, the same mercy that cried out from the cross for forgiveness for his murderers, the ones who nailed him to that cross, in that same mercy, our sins are forgiven. And in God's great mercy, we are strengthened to service for all those that are in need. And we are given fresh mercy every morning to try again, to love better, to trust more, to see our neighbors as created in the image of God and as part of the same body that we are. Because mercy is also a mark of Christ's reign as king. We don't have to live in fear because we are not ever in danger of God abandoning us or giving up on our selfish ways. You see, our king has it all backwards. When we reject or deny him, he is merciful. When we conspire to kill him, he is merciful. When we create systems in which he is so hungry he needs a backpack of food on the weekends, he is merciful. When we get it all wrong, and we have to keep coming back to confess the ways that we just keep getting it wrong, our King is merciful. Because our King is mercy. Our King is love. That's actually the kingdom in which we live. We just keep acting like it's not. Our King is love. And we are his subjects. And for that, we give deep and profound thanks for mercy, forgiveness, and the strength to try again. Amen.